Hello, everyone. Welcome to another fantastic edition of Exhausted, Tired, Bearded Men, also referred to as the Cybersecurity Matters podcast. I'm your co-host, Dominic Vogel. Joining me, as always, is my dashing younger version, Mr. Christian Redshaw. Christian, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, and you make me feel younger with that comment, but we know that we both know that's not true.
Before I lose myself, who is our guest today?
Well, our guest today is Rohan Shanbag, and he is a cybersecurity practitioner for TELUS.
Well, I guess we're going to find out sooner or later if we can mess with the Rohan, but let's bring him on and let's see where this conversation goes.
I sense Lord of the Rings references coming up with that name. Rohan, thank you so much for joining our show today. It's great to have you on.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here myself. I've never done one of these podcasts before, so I'm looking forward to it, a video one.
Well, we're honored to be your first time, I guess. But thank you so much for joining us, and I'll just get the ball rolling. You know, I've been very much looking forward to this conversation. So, in terms of maybe we'll just start broad the threat landscape. In terms of what we're seeing right now, what you're seeing at TELUS as well, what does the cyber threat landscape look for small and mid-sized organizations in Canada?
Sure. Perfect. Yeah, let's dive right into it. So essentially, we're all business. Sure, no worries. So I'm all down for that. As consultants, I love to talk. So I guess
we'll backfill right? on who you are later. Let's just get right down to the
subject. Yeah, I know. Nobody listens, but like that's fine. I'll still give my advice. So it's interesting. The small and medium landscape, especially here in Canada, has from what I've seen. I mean, before coming to TELUS, obviously I was with a big four organization. We had a lot of enterprise clients, so a lot of large clients, right? So moving from that environment to small and medium sized businesses, small and medium enterprises, it's definitely a shift. And in terms of what we see in the landscape right now, it has been a lot of these people are scrambling to solve work from home challenges. And this is obviously accepted. I mean, that's kind of obvious, right? I mean, we had the COVID pandemic hit and a lot of the organizations are now sort of scrambling to see, all of a sudden my workforce of 30 people who all used to come in are now working from home. It has given rise to a lot of challenges, especially when it comes to how do you connect, how do you keep data safe. So a lot of them are playing catch up. And in terms of playing catch up, what I do primarily is, of course, security program evaluation. So like GRC component of cybersecurity programs. So a lot of them come to an organization like TELUS and ask us, I would like to implement X cybersecurity framework. And usually, they do a little bit of Google and they come back and say, hey, I want to use NIST, which is great. But the way in which, I'll go into the solutions later. So that's one thing is they want to implement a cybersecurity framework. It's a great start. And then from there, they start talking about tools and technologies that they want to implement. A lot of the work that we see, especially in the Canadian side, is it's pretty immature SME environment. So a lot of things are missing. So usually when they come to us and say, oh, I want to do NIST, we would often say that's great. But what you're really looking for, NIST is think of implementing NIST like implementing like a space program, right? You need to have a whole bunch of things in place before you can do it. You'll just fail everything. So then that'll just look really bad. So at the same time, what we would try to tell
Nobody
them
wins.
Is, you know, I'm sorry?
Nobody wins there.
Yeah, nobody wins
no
there.
ROI
and that's and that's kind of what we see is they come to us and they have an idea of what they want to do and they say, help us become more secure. We see all of these challenges. We just got phished last week, or we have all of these things, and that's why they're coming in the first place. Right. And they know that they have to implement a cyber program and the NIST is the best one, so let's start with the best one. Of course, there's, we would advise them, for instance, CIS 20 is something that we do quite a bit. They have the implementation groups 1 through 3. So depending on the maturity, a lot of these organizations tend to know that they're not mature enough, but they don't know the degree to which they are. They aren't. So we help them sort of say, listen, you really should be doing a CIS implementation group one or two. You're not ready for NIST yet. Hmm. And it's a conversation that's it's an interesting one to have with them. They usually are receptive since they don't know, and they tend to get a lot more value out of a lighter framework to sort of get the baseline going before right. they can aim for the space program. That's kind of like how I would mm-hmm. see the landscape right now. Is a lot of them, but on the plus side, at least the fact that they know that they don't have cybersecurity in place and want someone to come and help them is a big plus.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good first step on the cybersecurity maturity journey. Them coming to yep. you and understanding that there's a reason why they want to start getting protections in place. So driving down a little bit into the threat landscape for small and medium-sized businesses, what are the main threats that you're seeing right now? Ransomware, business email yes. compromise. What does it look like?
Ransomware is definitely pretty high up. Ransomware and phishing is pretty mm-hmm. high up right now. I would say most of the clients that come to us are particularly concerned about all their assets sort of being locked out. And I think the second one that they're concerned about is essentially financial fraud resulting from phishing. And right. if you're in the current COVID pandemic economic situation and you're a small to medium enterprise, obviously this could be the final nail in your coffin, right? So that's definitely a real danger there. And surprisingly enough, when you look at this whole threat landscape, these two components, I think there was a Verizon report that was just released that also documented that these two are kind of high and have essentially gone into overdrive in the first few months of the pandemic. I haven't checked any latest statistics about where they are at now, but it's definitely something we have seen clients come to us and they particularly want to have a cybersecurity program that can address these issues. Of course, though, the one and only effective way, I would say, is to have a nice training and awareness program and you do frequent testing. Those are the two quick wins that any cybersecurity program can implement to gain high marks on when it comes to user awareness training. So you are not clicking the phishing email links, right? That would be one way of solving it. Of course, a lot of these organizations don't have reporting mechanisms in place, but that's another story, and that is of course something that we'll roll in.
So in terms of the mindset of a company that you would help along and educate, what would you say the mindset is, or especially in terms of the maybe what we now know as misconceptions in terms of what they've done up until now that maybe is not the best strategy, like our IT managed service provider is looking after that, so we're probably okay, or we've never been hit before, so we're probably yep. probably good, or cyber insurance has got us covered, so we don't have to worry about it.
Glad you brought that up. A lot of these guys don't have cyber insurance, or at least they haven't told us they do. So this is definitely an interesting territory, because I know working with large enterprises, yeah, they have cyber insurance. I primarily work with oil and gas and education institutions. They are very frequent targets. They all have cyber insurance. So in fact, the first time there's an incident, there's someone from legal already talking about putting an insurance claim in. So they're definitely ahead of the game. But a lot of the SMEs either A, don't know that they can get cyber insurance, or they don't see any value in getting cyber insurance. There is not a lot of conversation around getting cyber insurance, because again, to keep the landscape in mind, most of the clients I deal with have like an IT department of like three people, right? Right. So they don't necessarily have the skills, resources, or time to invest in, let me look at all my options when it comes to like incident response. They would either try to manage a lot of things in-house, or in terms of solutioning, they will be like, I have TELUS as my MSS SEM provider, so I'm covered, right? Is mm-hmm. there kind of like their approach to it, and they will essentially send a few logs from some of their cloud applications, and that's their extent of security, and it has worked up until now. Is it a good strategy? It really depends on the organization, their network footprint, what they're doing. If for instance, you are and that's another part of the problem that you see as well. They don't know what they have.
Right.
So when oftentimes on a scoping call, we'd ask them, okay, so, in terms of, in order to better advise you, what type of data do you have? oftentimes they'll say they'll get back to us. And like 1 week later, they get back to us and say, and, you know, they're like, oh, we didn't know we had healthcare information that we were also collecting. Like, you know, so that is, or they'll be like, oh, we have nothing. We don't have anything sensitive. Oh, but we also work with the government on a defense contract. So, right. You know, it's, so, like, you know, so it's stuff like that that comes up.
In terms of maybe well referred to as maybe myths or roadblocks that you see again, particularly with those SMBs, you know, do you run into these things where you know you'll have maybe a business owner or CEO or COO of a, again, of a small mid-sized organization saying, oh, you know, we have antivirus, you know, we're okay. Or, you know, no, to your point earlier, we're a small company. We don't have any sensitive data. We don't need to worry about cybersecurity. How prevalent is that old school, what I refer to as 1995 level thinking? And what do we need to do to just better educate and inform the SMB space that, you know, it is 2020 sure. and the cyber threat landscape doesn't look like 1995 anymore.
And a follow-up question, how old were you in 1995?
You know what? I can definitely start with the, I'll start with the second one first. You know, I was in school, not even high school. Let's go down that road. But I would definitely say that the idea that a lot of these people have about where their cybersecurity program is and that old school mindset is extremely pervasive, especially in the SME landscape, primarily because a lot of these people who have been in this sort of SME industry kind of go around in the same industry. It's the same thing with like larger enterprises, right? You know, you work in a large bank, your next job will be at a large bank. So you just kind of sort of see the whole,
right.
You know, you're in that industry. So a lot of these guys who have been that I deal with from this market space have been in this industry for like 15 years. So they know IT, or they know a certain portion of it. Like they started off doing something, maybe database administration, and now sort of transitioning into now, they were like, oh, you can do something with security. So now you're in security. And it's a department of one. So, and as with any human endeavor, like, you know, there's only that much one single person can do. There's a human limitation there. So no matter how good you may be, and I'm sure you guys can acknowledge this, cybersecurity is a super broad field. Like if you cannot make a career in cybersecurity, you're hard pressed, man. Cause like you there's literally everything you can do. There's governance, risk and compliance, all the way to pen testing. Oftentimes when people say, oh, you're in cybersecurity, oh, so you're a hacker. I'm like, not really. Like, you know, like, you know, I mean, I would love to be. I mean, if that's what you think, if that stops you from trying to steal my credit card information, that's great. Sure. But like, you know, but I'm not, you know, it's a broad spectrum. So you have incident responders who are not necessarily great at program implementation.
Right.
You have pen testers who are not really great at application security. Mm. So like, you know, sitting and configuring and trying to break something are not the same skill set. So it's a very broad field. So when you have SMEs where you have one person managing this entire broad spectrum, you're going to get gaps. Mm-hmm. And the knowledge that you have will be limited. So that's kind of where, in terms of how we go about educating them is, one is they have to be proactive in wanting to learn more about cybersecurity. And a lot of them are, especially with pandemic, a lot of, over the years, a lot more reports are being issued. There's a lot of visibility on cyber attacks. So that kind of gets them curious. And then they come usually to a service provider, or they'll ask any other vendor that they have. And the education process is different for different organizations. But ultimately, I think that there isn't, like, you know, we can't just like putting posters on the subway or any public transit and be like, call us for cybersecurity awareness. Like, that's not going to work. I think it has to be the person in charge has to recognize that, oh, yes, there is something about this field that I may not know. There may be blind spots and I better find out what they are. Mm-hmm. And doing something like a framework assessment, like you sort of map your current where your position is and get a posture assessment is a start. That will tell you what you don't have.
Gotcha. And one final question for me before I give it over to Christian to bring things home. So in terms of what you and your teammates do at TELUS, and for our viewers and listeners, what would be some reasons that they could reach out to TELUS in order to help them out with their security capabilities. So you mentioned frameworks. Are there other things as well that SMBs could reach out to tell us for when it comes to cybersecurity?
Oh yeah, I can definitely do free advertising all you want. So in terms of, I'm always happy to, you know, let me just pull up my talking points here real quick. they didn't give me any. But TELUS is in a unique position because as a telecom provider, they do, well, I didn't know this, but TELUS actually doesn't have internet all over the country. It's something I didn't know. It's only in BC and Alberta. Did you know that? I didn't know.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I know. Like, I only know this because I sent my friend like this discount code that I got, like, you know, as a friends and family. And he was like, and he showed me a screenshot of the page. Like, there's no internet in Ontario. I was like, oh, okay. Well, there's that.
I had no idea.
But essentially, an organization, TELUS, can, because of what they do for as a telecommunication backbone, they do have the ear of a lot of SMEs. Most consulting firms often don't operate on that sort of mind. Like, they have to go probably find clients. But as a telecom provider, our sales team, I guess, has a better in with these things. So we often have a good pipeline of SMEs from small farms to regional transport divisions to a whole bunch of other industries. And it's good to sort of see. So in terms of what we provide, obviously they. TELUS does the managed SIEM service that they have, which is quite popular, especially if you're a small organization on a budget. Yeah. A lot of the cybersecurity services TELUS provides is pretty industry standard. Like there's a pen testing team, there's a GRC team, there's an incident response team. If you're a larger enterprise client, we also have tie-ups with FireEye and other incident response. So it's across the board. So I'm specifically in the SME market segment, which has its own interesting challenges and dynamics, but we of course provide the same level of service for our SME clients as well. So it includes pen testing, incident response, maybe not be at the enterprise budget level, but definitely something they can avail.
Very cool.
So a question, Rohan, you talked about the different frameworks and how you engage with your clients and assess their risks. Out of that, I would imagine that an outcome is that you give them recommendations. Here are the things that you need to do, and here are the things that you need to do next. What I'm wondering is, do you have a way of communicating risk reduction and the ROI of them implementing your recommendations? Like, how do you justify them doing anything beyond just assessing their risks and actually
And this is very tricky in the SME space because unlike large organizations, resources are super limited. Mm-hmm. So very recent example, I'm not going to name specifics, but there was a company we did an assessment. Obviously, this was not a NIST or something. This was a CIS implementation group level assessment. None of them were satisfactory. None of their controls were satisfactory. Obviously, you can't flag everything and be like, everything is high risk. That doesn't make any sense. Also, from an implementation perspective, you can't be like, okay, now, you know, your budget's maybe like 50,000 a year, Canadian dollars. And you can't be like, okay, here's like 100 things for you to do in that. Like, that's not realistic either. Right. So you have to start with the easy big wins. Like group policy update to lock your screen out after 5 minutes of inactivity. You got to go down to that level, right? Mm-hmm. Is it granular? Yes, but at the same time, that is the value they seek from us as a consulting service. Simply because, I know to us who have probably been in this landscape for a while, that may not seem like a big recommendation to give, but they didn't have it. So that is the level we're talking about here, right? So for us, what we would do, how we would categorize risk is, of course, by effort to fix and most value for money, right? Mm-hmm. So just they could have a high risk, but they just may not have the budget or the technological capabilities or the money to put that in place, the remediation in place. So what we would then... And as with any framework risk gap analysis that you have, we highlight risks. The decision to accept, remediate, transfer, mitigate is up to you as an organization.
Right.
So if you're a small, medium enterprise in the COVID pandemic economic environment, you know your financial situation best. we can tell you that from a security standpoint, yeah, you need to have specific firewall rules configured, and you cannot just use a network firewall out of the box as it is. Although it has default deny, that's great. But like, you know, so, you know, we definitely cannot, you will say, yeah, you need to have a firewall. It'll be nice if you can have some rules, but do you have the capabilities to implement, say, a SEM service? I mean, on your own, can you install Splunk on your network by yourself and make it work? If you can, good, do it. That's a goal you can aim for, or you just choose to accept that risk, but you at least now know what you don't have. So that is knowledge in of itself. Yeah. And that's kind of how we would see our engagements as, like, we'll doing a gap analysis, you'll get a laundry list of things you can fix. We will prioritize them for you, saying this is high risk, this is low risk, this is something you can do maybe 2 years out. But ultimately, the decision of how you want to action is up to you, and that really depends on what your budgetary situation is.
Couldn't agree more.
Ron, I mean, that was some rock solid advice, and I honestly couldn't tell that this was your first time on a podcast. So that was absolutely fantastic. Very much looking forward to having you on again. Quickly before I hand it off to Christian to wrap things up. So if people do want to get in touch with TELUS, I hope this doesn't sound like a stupid question, but what's the best way that they reach out? Would it be through the TELUS website or?
Yeah, it's a fair question. I think their TELUS website has services section listed on it. So they have consulting services as one of the things as enterprise service that they sell. It is a bit buried on the website, but I guess you know you can reach out to me and I'll forward it to the sales guy. I'm sure they'll be super happy. I don't make any commission on that, but like you know whatever keeps me employed, right?
That's right.
Well, Rohan, it was truly a pleasure to have you on. You seem like a great guy, and I had so many more questions that I want to ask you. So maybe what we need to do is have
a round two
of this.
But
for now,
happy to have a round two. Yeah, I mean, if you still got time, I'm happy to talk for 5 more minutes. So
no, we'll have you on in a separate episode. You'll be a recurring guest.
Oh no, yeah. Kind of been that good.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing your wisdom with us, Rohan. And Dominic
Thank
and I will be right back to wrap things up.
Well, that was surprisingly fun having Rohan on there. I mean, we went with no expectations. I think he hit it out of the park, and there was a lot of strange cultural references, but I think it was a fantastic conversation, and I'm itching to know what sort of your key takeaway was.
Well, my thing, I asked him about the ROI of cybersecurity for companies to reduce their risk. And I really appreciated his answer, which is effectively boiling down to your affordability and your capabilities. At least when companies are assessing their risk and doing risk reduction measures, you are on your way. You're on the journey to reasonable, legally defensible cybersecurity at the end of the day.
And that was such a great takeaway. And for me, I think he said this early on, was how they try to guide their clients and customers to understand that they shouldn't just dive into the deep end first when it comes to especially like security frameworks. You can't just build a space station overnight, do the basics, do the foundational building blocks and do those well and move towards that. So I thought that was very insightful and obviously very timely with the SMB market. So we're very grateful to Rohan and to TELUS for such an awesome and engaging conversation. And as always, we want to extend that same thank you to our loyal viewers and listeners who join us each and every week. Please do make sure to check out the Conversations That Matter YouTube page to check out the previous season and previous episodes of Cybersecurity Matters podcast, as well as a slew of other awesome conversations and podcasts that appear under the Conversations That Matter banner. But until next time, have a fantastic week. Be well, be awesome. And thank you again for tuning in to Cybersecurity Matters.
We'll see you next week.